I want to thank those that are here for being here tonight. First item on the agenda is roll call.
Commissioner Sinapa.
Present.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
Commissioner Christopher.
Here.
And Supervisor Couch.
Okay, thank you.
It's crazy in here.
Talk fast, everybody.
That's why I brought my jacket instead of not
here. Next item is approval of summary proceedings from last month. Everyone had a chance to take a look at it and see if there's any errors. I didn't see any. If they're good, I need a motion to receive and file.
I'll make a motion. I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, opposed? No, thank you. Consent agenda, we have nothing. So we'll move right into public presentations. Oh, by the way, small group or not, if you have any electronic devices, please turn them mute or off. If you have to talk, please talk out in the hallway. Under public presentations, this portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes, and we have an official timekeeper or director. So, first table. Terry or Judy, any presentations? Okay, next table, anything? Come on up then.
Did you get my full address or just my zip code? Terry is an Inovich 93314. Commissioners, thank you for the podium. Hello, everyone. So I've come to quite a few meetings. Wish there were more people here, but that's okay. So normally, the feeling that I have when I come to these meetings, probably like most of us, is hope, excitement, just anticipation of what's to come from the meeting, and. Sadly, when I leave these meetings, I feel just very, defeated, sad, confused, and frustrated. So what I have come to believe is that not a whole lot is going to happen from coming to these meetings. Not a whole lot is going to be conveyed to the county supervisors. At least there's been no indication from the commissioners, from Nick, the director, from everyone in this room. There's been no indication that the supervisors have heard any of our concerns, have heard any of our complaints, any of our suggestions. There's no public recognition of anything that's been happening in this room. And I know that all of you have put so much time and energy and effort into trying to make change, trying to bring awareness, trying to implement, new possibilities for this county, and nothing has happened. It's just been crickets. So what I've done and what I'm encouraging everyone to do is go directly to the source. I've been encouraged by everyone I've talked to within the rescue community. Even Nick, the director, has given me the advice to go directly to the supervisors, go to the meetings, write letters, even write letters to your, not just your county supervisors, but your city council members. And I've done that. I brought a copy of that letter. I made copies. I wish there were more of you. And I want to share it with everybody. Use what you like from it. It's obviously my ideas, my opinions, from my experience in the rescue world for the past 12 years. And then also as an active volunteer with Kern County Animal Services, it's everything that I've seen and everything that I would like to change. And I'm hoping something that most of you look at the letter, take it with you, share it with your friends and family, post it, I don't care what you do with it, but please write your supervisors, go to the meetings, get in front of the people who can actually make a difference, because it's not going to happen from this room unless we make it happen. So we need to get loud, we need to be together on this, and we can do it with class. And that's the way to do it, Mike. So thank you.
Thank you very much. There's no other public comments, so we'll bring it back to the head table. Staff announcements or reports, Director Cullen, please.
Yes, please.
Good evening, everybody. Nick Cullen, Director of Kern County Animal Services. Thank you for making it here on a Wednesday night. Like Carrie said, I wish there were more people, but there's not. Wanted to touch on a few things and answer any questions if I could. You know, we had a fee waived adoption event throughout the month of August, the entire month of August, and we had placed, I think the number was 561 animals into adopted homes in the month of August. The prior month, the July, I don't remember the exact figure, but it was over 602. And although that certainly seems like a success, which it is, you know, we still continue to struggle with spay and neuter. You know, we are we hired a veterinarian back in March, so she's 5 months into her tenure. And, you know, I don't want to speak for her, but every day that I see her car in the parking lot, I'm almost getting on my knees thanking that she showed up that day. Because it's tough. It's tough, especially for somebody that has never practiced shelter medicine before and has never practiced shelter medicine in Kern County before, and is just being stretched in all different directions. And she's, you know, she's got two registered veterinary technicians. And they call out, or if they're sick, she's doing triage and trying to do things too. So, you know, that success in adoptions creates a backlog of spay neuter surgeries that need to be accomplished. And each month that passes by, we're just continually behind the eight ball trying to find the resources to fix these animals to complete the adoptions. So, although we had a lot of success, like I said, in placing over 550 animals through adoption, you know, it does create a problem that we're also trying to solve. In addition to animals that aren't leaving our shelter alive, the ones that are leaving alive, we're consistently trying to find spay and neuter to complete those surgeries. And there's just not a lot of resources that are available right now. I don't have a point there, I'm just pointing out that it's a struggle. We had two vaccine clinics in the month of August, and the high temperatures, especially in July and August, really kind of handcuffed our ability to have a lot of those clinics. So thankfully, we were able to put two together, and out of those two, issued 240 parvo distemper vaccines, because we're still seeing parvo distemper being presented at intake at the shelter. You'll notice the TNR numbers, it says only five captures spay and neuter released in August of 2022. I'll remind you that 99.99% of the TNR cats that come in through the county typically go right to Critters Without Litters. And Critters Without Litters received some funding, some grant funding a couple months back. So they've been handling TNR for both city and county at really no cost to us. So the animals aren't coming to our facility, so they're not included in these statistics because it's not a county intake. That ends in October, so as of October, we'll start taking on feral cats again. And they're still going to go in the same place, but they'll be included in our monthly statistics. We had two spay and neuter clinics in the month of August, back-to-back, the 29th and 30th, just shy of 100 animals were spayed and neutered, 96 to be be specific. I did also include, we do still have a voucher program. We have Save the Pity vouchers, which are specifically for pit bull and pit bull mixes or anything that looks like a pit bull. And then the low-income vouchers, which are just for anybody else. The difference between the two is the Save the Pity vouchers are no copay, whereas the low-income vouchers are $20 copay. The only reason why I wanted to point that out, you'll see in the month of August, we issued 36 low-income vouchers, 10 Save the Pity vouchers. We currently have 2 participating veterinarians for the Save the Pity vouchers and 4 participating veterinarians for the low-income vouchers. At one point, we had 26 participating veterinarians. So it's a bit of a struggle to keep that, but that's also why we've shifted most of our focus and resources onto mobile spay and neuter. You know, it worries me all the time that we are, most of our surgical throughput rests on one organization's capacity. If for some reason they decide to fold up shop and go away, I honestly don't know what we'll do for spay and neuter for the community or for shelter pets, to be honest with you. We, like I said, we had to clear the shelters adoption event throughout the month of August. That's why we reduced adoption fees. We ran 1,445 calls for service in the field. I did intend to include our commercial animal facility permit enforcement, and I did not get around to it. I will begin to include that next month in the enforcement activity on the CAFs. But I did want to point out that our officers returned, secured 97 dogs on property. It's about 3 times what it was the month before. And they returned 31 dogs to their owners in August, which was about 3 times what it was last month. And that is a result of a concerted effort to give them the training and tools to return more animals to their owners so that they're not coming to the shelter. We're starting some incentive programs that are actually supported by the Best Friends Animal Society, where they're going to incentivize with just prizes our officers to have a contest to see how many animals that they can return back to their owners, so that they'll avoid bringing those animals to the shelter. But we're trying to do everything we can to not have to bring an animal to the shelter, just because it's just our kennels are packed, no space. Statistics-wise, year-to-date, we're at 75.38%, saving just over 75% of all the animals that come to us month of August. We saved just over 78% of the animals. The converse of that is year-to-date, January through September 1, about 25% of all the animals that entered the animal shelter were euthanized. And the month of August, it's just over 21% of all the animals that came into the shelter in August were euthanized. Our volunteer program, 563 hours of service were donated, including some of you in this room. Some of you significantly contributed to that. I'm looking at multiple people, by the way.
I forget to volunteer. Our clock in
That does. And that wraps up my director's report, and I can answer any questions you might have.
Okay, commissioners, any questions?
Nothing on your report.
Okay.
I'm bummed about the 25%, but you are too. So if something were to happen to the SNP bus or whoever they are, would Best Friends or anyone like that come in to help continue that?
Best Friends does not have a senior portion of their organization. They're more of a non-profit funding agency than they are.
Is that the only one around, SNP bus?
Yeah. There's a few that, they're the only one in Kern County. There's Simi Valley Mobile Clinic that will come in occasionally, but they're stretched thin across Central California. And there are there's one on the coast in Ventura, but not too many that are willing or able to operate in.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
You had talked about the spay-neuter vouchers and the save-the-pity vouchers for the low-income. Are any of the four vets that you say will take those, are they all in Bakersfield, or are any of them in the outlying communities?
I'm not sure if I would, I don't want to say for sure, but if I were to venture, yes, they're all in Bakersfield.
Which makes it kind of tough for everybody else.
Yeah, I had a gentleman that contacted me yesterday. Neither here nor there, but contacted me yesterday. He's got 18 cats, and you know, they're probably free roaming, is what I would call them. But he claims ownership.
Yeah.
And his next door neighbor has a couple huskies, and I don't know if the dog, his neighbor's dog's gotten into his yard, or his cat's got into the neighbor's yard, but one of his kittens got attacked, and he's asking me for help because his cat is severely injured, and I didn't really have an answer for him. He's in Mojave. The nearest vet is, you know, 60 miles away, and he's on low income. And should he own 18 cats? Probably not, but he does. And I didn't really have an answer for him other than I'll see what I can do, you know, work with him to get the rest of the animals paid and neutered. I didn't have any program to help offset the cost of veterinary care for that cat. I didn't even have a veterinarian anywhere nearby that I could direct him to. He's going to have to travel to Bakersfield, and he doesn't have the transportation. So, you know, those are the things that are pretty disturbing to what's he going to do.
Yeah. I've had several people reaching out to me for the Fix and Feral Felines thing. Several from Mojave and somebody from Roseville. It's like, you know. What can I do? Go down, pick up your cats, and then run into Critters and still be there by 6 o'clock in the morning? I mean, that would be very difficult.
I talked to another local veterinarian out of Boyledale who she wanted to know what our policy was on owner requested euthanasia. And I had to explain to her, we don't do that at the county animal shelter. And I got into talking to her, and she said that she gets on average 3 to 5 pet owners that come into their clinic a week that have animals that need significant veterinary care. They cannot afford the veterinary care. And then when they consider humane euthanasia, they also cannot afford that. And so, you know, those are the things that keep me up at night. 3 to 5.
And thank you for clearing up about the TNR numbers. That was on my list to ask you why it's so low, because I know why I've taken it more than 5 months. Thank you.
Regarding the volunteers, gratified to see 42 new volunteers. If someone wants to become a volunteer, who do they see down there?
You don't have to go see anybody. Just go online, kerncountyanimalshelter.org, and click on Add Help, and click on the volunteer link, fill out a volunteer app. You can actually schedule this stuff for orientation.
Okay, that's for those interested in doing that. So, no. Okay, open up to the public. Second table, any comments from the director on anything? Nothing? Okay. Third table? Okay.
Gary, I had a quick question. It wasn't about your report necessarily, it was just following up on last month. Were Yesenia, did she reach out to you about helping with the translations?
No, but we met with the Ventura County Animal Services today for a bunch of different reasons, and connected them, their pet retention people, with our pet retention people, so we're just going to, they already have those documents.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of that is those documents that are in the lobby that can help people. So we're just going to, instead of reinventing the wheel.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But by all means, to my knowledge, she hasn't reached me.
Yeah.
If you speak with her, be happy to hear from her, because we still need help translating some of our other documents.
Did Susie Harris connect with you?
Who is that?
She brought up like social media posts giving high schoolers the ability to...
She left me her contact information, and I gave her mine. We have not communicated that. She was going to talk to her.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think close up the question. So at this point, we need a motion to accept and file the report.
I'll make the motion, Gary.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Next item, commissioners' announcements or reports. Basically, all our initiative commissioners can make an announcement or report on their own activities this last month. Anything to do with them?
So I don't have anything to report. I actually had planned to go to the budget hearing that was at the Board of Supervisors, but I got COVID prior to the date, so I wasn't able to go. But I have been in communication with Supervisor Perez, and so I've made it known to her at least that of what is happening and what's going on in this room every month. I kind of got the same response that I usually get of, yeah, we need to look into it, we need to figure it out, and that we need to find the money to go towards animal control. But that's like the biggest case, is that we need to get them all to say that more money, more funding needs to come to animal services so we can get more of everything, more ACWs, more animal control officers. I'm definitely still willing and very much motivated to make sure that when the budget is revisited next year, that we come up with a plan, that we lobby hard to make sure that funding comes in, and we illustrate to them exactly what resources we feel needs to be added to the shelter to make sure that we can see the differences that we want come to fruition. That's all I have.
Thank you. Okay.
Let me see. Well, I agree with what Neil said, and I don't know who my next supervisor is going to be, although in the near future. And I know that we want to put out the cute, warm, fuzzy stuff in the media, but sometimes the ugly stuff should go out there too to get people's attention. That's all.
Okay, good. Karen?
Just kind of along the same lines of what we're talking about, Nick, with the owner surrender, owner euthanasias. We're having the same issue, even at our place. We've had the last 2 weeks, our doctor was out. We had another doctor come fill in for 4 days of it, which, again, I know you're getting paid for those days, so other than, personal time, but it's discouraging.
Microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Is it on?
It's kind of along the same lines of, we have a lot of people coming in that normally would probably treat their pets, but are, opting for euthanasia right now just because that's all they can afford. And even that is, again, like you said, not even attainable some of the time. So, it's discouraging, and again, we're not in the situation of the shelter, but at the same time, I think it's across the board with a lot of people they're having to make choices between treating their pets and putting food on the table and that at this point. And I think unfortunately it's just a bad situation all around.
Yeah, I don't want it to all be doom and gloom. I mean, it's a struggle at the shelter, continually trying to make space, working with other agencies to find solutions to problems we see all the time. We're always trying to be creative. We're working with the subcommittee to revise some of the local ordinances to see if that can make some progress towards a better future. I will say that I shared on our social media page a couple weeks back. Didn't seem like many people saw it, but it was a study that was put out by the University of Florida, which is a pretty reputable college, and they queried about 250 spay neuter clinics or vet hospitals across the country, and they tabulated data starting in 2019, and then they went all the way up until towards the beginning of 2022. And what they were able to say is that nationwide, just in those clinics, was about 2.7 million less spay and neuters that happened than in that time period than would normally happen in any given year. And that's, and there's a number of different reasons. You know, we all know there's a shortage of licensed veterinarians. You know, there's a shortage of veterinary practices. You know, veterinary practices are closing down, shifting their resource, the services that they offer. You know, some of them are just offering boarding and grooming and stuff like that. So, you know, that 2.7 million less spay and neuter surgeries that happened, if you do the math, you know, based on a minimum amount of puppies that a dog would produce in a given year, you're talking about 300 to 400 million extra dogs nationwide. It's a fascinating study. If you look at it, you can acknowledge that that may have something to do with what we're seeing in our shelter, what City of Bakersfield is seeing in their shelter, and what Riverside is seeing and Fresno is seeing. I mean, it could be. But it certainly is a crisis, you know. And I wish I could look to my staff and tell them that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, that if we keep hitting away at it, that you know, we'll start to see those numbers drop to where they were prior to the pandemic, but we haven't seen it yet. But you know, the good thing is that this is a well-known crisis, if just beyond Kern County, such that there's a lot of grant funding that's available for animal welfare right now. We're trying to grasp as much of it as we can. I just submitted we just won a grant last year for a couple $100,000, and we're putting together programs to attack it from that end. And we applied for another grant for almost $1 million to try and do the same thing over a 3-year period, trying to attack it from different angles. There's money and there's resources out there that's available. And we're gonna fight tooth and nail and submit requests for it so we bring more dollars to Kern County to try and solve some of the problems that we see. So, you know, if there is a bright spot, it's that there is some funding out there that's available. I don't know that funding is always the solution, especially grant funding, but we're certainly gonna make the effort.
Well, and honestly, I have to commend you guys, and especially the people that are working directly at the shelter, because, I mean, even for us, again, we deal with it on such a small scale compared to what you guys do. Don't get me wrong, we just actually got with a veterinarian. But, it's a very emotional thing to deal with day in and day out. And it's, you know, I think that's partly why the industry is kind of going the way it is somewhat, you know. But, you know, you guys are great for hanging in there and sticking with it.
Just to give you a glimpse, and boy, I sound like Debbie Downer up here, but it's real, you know. Just to give you a glimpse of kind of what we deal with from the county shelter, we made a decision probably about a year ago where it wasn't fair to rest the decision of what lives and what doesn't on three people or one person, you know, and we wanted to include other people in the decision of euthanasia, you know, which dogs stay, which ones don't. And so we started including the entire department in those decisions. So we would send out an email, we send out the pre-euthanasia list, we send out everybody a list of the animals that we have scheduled for euthanasia that the next day or a couple of days after. And we allow all the employees, field admin, shelter, to remove an animal from the euthanasia list and make an effort to promote that animal, market that animal. And it's a tough decision to make, because even after the staff does their job to promote those animals, it doesn't always work. I think I mentioned we had Ventura County Animal Services here today, and they were walking through our kennels, and we were exchanging ideas and thoughts and solutions. And the thing that blew them away, number one, is the volume of puppies. They don't have puppies in their shelter. 40 puppies they took in this year. 40. We took in something like 1,800.
That's from what county?
The entire county shelter. Yeah.
Why is that?
Could be spay and neuter. And you got to remember, it's Ventura County. It's a very affluent area. But the thing that they notice is that aside from the volume of puppies, is that the animals that are in our kennels are well-behaved, like they're sweet dogs. Like, this isn't a shelter packed full of behaviorally unsound animals. This is a shelter packed with beautiful, friendly, sweet dogs. Don't get me wrong, they're not all like that, but that's what stood out to them, is that the animals that they can't find placement for at their facilities, they don't show well, they're aggressive, they appear aggressive, they're barrier reactive. Kennel reactive. Ones in our shelter, they said it's night and day. And I don't know what to do with that information. So, yeah, it's a tough go over right now.
Did they take some puppies?
We're working on it. We're working.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. They need some well-behaved dogs.
Yes.
Yeah, we're working on some transport dogs.
Yeah, I had an incident. I've been working a colony over at Kmart in Tehachapi for several months now, and I'm down to one mama cat that has evaded all of our traps. And there's a little old lady who lives across the street that knows all the cats anyway. She's got me on speed dial, and she called me a couple Sunday mornings ago and said that somebody had dumped two mama cats and six kittens, friendly, right there in Kmart. And, you know, as you can imagine, I was pissed because, number one, why is this my problem? But, number two, because now I've got to deal with this because this little old lady who's got me on speed dial and, you know, gives me $20 every now and then to pay for gas, she would just think I'm the most horrible person in the world if I didn't go scoop up those cats. So I did, and found foster homes for the kittens and housed the mama kitties in my, I have a catio, believe it or not, go figure. And I had reached out to the Tehachapi Police Department because I thought maybe it might be beneficial to get a report on this. You know, dumping animals is illegal, and it was within city, so I thought, maybe a report, maybe, you know, I'd offer a reward, $250 for information leading to the person who decided that these cats were better off living in a parking lot. And I was just flat out told no by the Tehachapi Police Department, and I was so aggravated, I have no idea. Because if I were in the Tehachapi parking lot in Kmart and I was beating my dog with a bat, you can bet your ass that those cops would be there and have something to say about that. And to me, abandonment, neglect, and abuse, they're all in the same sentence. And I got nowhere with them. I did out of curiosity, I filed online the complaint through Kern County Animal Services and got an automated response, and that's it. Everything else has fallen on deaf ears. So fortunately, the outcome for the cats is good. I did find somebody who's going to adopt both of them, which thank God for good karma that comes my way every now and then and relieves me of my otherwise stupid acts that consume my day. But I understand. I know there's not a lot of rag people here tonight, but I understand your frustration about your complaints fall on deaf ears. Not even the police will help. They say, well, no, that's Kern County Animal Services problem. And, you know, I feel bad calling dispatch because it's not an emergency. There isn't an injured dog or you know, it's not a life-threatening emergency, but I definitely understand the frustration of everybody out there who's trying to save an animal, because I'm living it every day too.
Okay, thank you. We're gonna move on to old business.
I had a quick question. Oh. Have you reached out to Dr. Darrow? She's Southern Kern Veterinarian Clinic.
She's in Rosemond.
She's in Rosemond?
She's got her plate pretty full.
Okay.
I know we've reached out to her before to
see if she'd do clinics or something.
She has somebody else working with her now. There's a second bed there.
There is. Because I know she stopped doing horse at Welch. She does them on occasion, so she let go of that because she was so busy. And now she has her clinic right there. Was it Rosamond Bowman?
They're both certified chiropractic.
Yeah.
We used to work with Dr. Darrow in Southern Connecticut. They used to do all of our mommy children dog surgeries.
I think that's who did our dog that we adopted from the Milwaukee shelter.
Can we try again?
For like
vouchers?
Vouchers. Because there's, I know Tehachapi doesn't have any.
Yep. I know that at some point, yeah, I can reach out.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. We're going to move on to old business. Update on the AKC Reunite fundraising efforts. Is there any kind of an update for that?
She has told me that she got another $1,000 donation.
Okay.
She worked with the ROC kids and they did put together a PSA, filmed a PSA.
Yeah.
She sent out letters to some dignitaries and businesses, and she's trying to coordinate and get with Nick to do a press conference or something of the sort. So she's trying to run two businesses and work and everything else.
Yeah, she's a teacher, I guess. So, yeah, she's very busy. Okay, thanks for the update. Status on ordinance subcommittee revisions. Director Cole, you want to start off with that?
Sure. We met once a week for 5 weeks now. The last meeting, we went over the last, I guess, piece of it that hadn't been discussed yet, and there was disagreement with the subcommittee, and so there was a sort of a ceasefire, for lack of a better term, while we try to figure out whether a different language should be included or some other approach to it. But after that gets settled, the subcommittee's done, and then it'll just be my job to bring a new version to the subcommittee, to the commission, to decide what to do with it.
Is county council attending these meetings or no?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
As Director Collins said, since our last meeting, we've met four times for a minimum of an hour and a half with two of the commissioners, Director Collins and County Council, going through this ordinance line by line. It's very exhausting to try to do it, make sure that we're doing everything. Every I is dotted, T is crossed, and make sure we understand and we agree with it. And we're probably 80 to 90% finished, and we'll have another meeting, I think this coming Friday. So anyway, it's a lot of work, but we want to go through it very carefully and slowly, and we'll have maybe something to report next month. I don't know. So
is there anything that can be expanded on the language that was talked about? We can't do that. Not until
Sunday. On the what?
Ms. Council, Madam Council. Commissioner Snob was asking. We've been working on a ordinance revision to Title VII, and it was in a subcommittee 3 years ago. COVID happened somewhere in there, and then it's been brought back to another subcommittee to finalize. Am I allowed to explain the specifics about what the subcommittee, the language they're revising?
I believe you are.
Okay. It's a piece about the subcommittee had recommended some language that requires somebody to take specific actions when a temperature is above or below a certain temperature.
Okay.
And so there's some debate about whether that should be included or if it is, what action needs to be taken, what's reasonable.
Gotcha. Okay.
Are we allowed to ask public comment?
On
that issue? Of what they do when the temperature gets. I mean, you guys all live in Bakersfield, right? Are we allowed to ask that?
Ms. Barber? That's a good question. I, My opinion is...
I'm just curious because I don't live here.
It's limited to the subcommittee.
It had public comment, and that's why it came.
That's why it's here.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
From the subcommittee.
Yeah.
So I think we have another... Are we set to meet this coming Friday?
I haven't sent out a meeting yet.
I didn't get it
from the chairperson still.
Well, I have you here.
Yeah, I'll send you a request.
If we want to finish this up, so...
Good news is I've learned how to Zoom.
Actually, we're not Zooming. Christopher. Yeah. We're Teamsing.
I can see them and they can see me, so I'm good.
So the process right now is, I mean, we spent, I don't know how many years, on the first go-round. And then we decided to do a second subcommittee, correct? Or what do you call it?
Commission.
Subcommittee for that they're doing, that you guys are doing now. So you're looking at understanding it and revising it, and then the next step, and county council is involved in that, which is much better.
Every meeting.
Since they should have been involved in the first government. Okay, so then it comes to us.
It comes to the commission, we vote on it.
And we vote whether to move it forward or not.
Right.
Or revise.
Or
kill.
Okay. All right. Just follow in.
Okay, that's all I've got on that. Moving on to new business, there is none. And kind of a short meeting tonight for some whatever reason. Short group. So at this point, adjournment. I need to get a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.